All right, Bang Bang, today is Tuesday, May 26th. Welcome to the Dog Walk presented by Barstool Sports. As always, I am joined by your friend, Chief. Chief, what's up?
We're friends?
I said your friend.
Oh, so like the internet's friend.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be friends with the whole internet.
Your friend. Why?
Yeah.
You seem shocked that I called you my friend.
I haven't heard those words cross your lips before.
Well, you know.
It's a professional relationship here.
No, I know. Well, that's why I said your. So the listeners, I think they consider your friend.
Yeah.
They hear you through the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of days of the week now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I figured that would be a good way to introduce you.
I got a good relationship with the internet.
For sure. How mm-hmm. was the weekend?
Oh, you know, a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just some alcohol, some trivia. I don't know if people saw that. And, so just it feels good, actually, to be back. Usually, this is the worst day of the year during coronavirus. It's just, you know, I need something to do.
Yeah, for sure. I feel you, dude. And today, I feel like to avoid any allegations, it is a tinfoil, right? Or has any of this been proven?
I mean, it's, let people make up their own minds. It seems mm-hmm. like it's a there's been articles written, there's been studies, there's been some people charged with fraud related to this topic. So it's not necessarily tinfoil, but how widespread this practice is might be.
And it's about how rich, wealthy ass people are buying art mm-hmm. to avoid getting hit with taxes.
Yeah, and making us all feel stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Because, okay, here's, when it comes to art, I remember having the conversation with Portnoy mm-hmm. last year when he went to Miami for some art festival. He hung out with the guy who, like, is a big shot down there.
Okay, like an art dealer?
He's not a dealer. He's a collector.
Okay.
But it was an art festival type. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called. It's not even a festival. It's just for a bunch of, like, he met Sean Penn. He met, like, Leo. Like, it was, like, one of those.
Okay.
Like, it was, like, a big swinging dick factory. And I remember being like, dude, that is, like, the full, that's how you enter the full sphere of being a rich guy.
Yeah.
Like, that is art. When you get into art, I was like, you don't really like art, dude. He's like, oh, I kind of do. I was like, dude, really?
I was like, dude, you're
better than being an art guy. And nothing against art people, mm-hmm. like artists, whatever. But like,
yeah, no.
I just feel like once people, you know, they just fucking become.
I actually art have people. No. Yeah, I have no problem with art people and art in general. I think you'll be shocked to hear this probably, but I think going to the art museum in Chicago or the art institute rather, it's a nice date.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, especially in the summer, get a little air conditioning, you walk around, it's not too bad.
Yeah, people work very hard on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And
some people.
Yeah.
Other people are fucks.
Exactly. Some people work very hard on it, and, you know, some people, you know, are extremely talented.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just funny. I was just like, I didn't know you were an art guy. Like, are you just doing this because you're a rich guy now or what? And he's like, no, I just kind of like art. I was like, oh, all right, whatever. But art, I don't know. I just don't understand it.
It's one of those things that it's like, that's how they want you to feel.
Yeah.
Because that's part of this racket, and maybe we should just start from the top. I'll just hit you with some figures. So,
love it.
Global sales of art and antiques in 2019. You want to try to guess the number
of how much was spent on art?
Yeah. And I'm like, this is like from Sotheby's and Christie's and some of these like big auction houses and galleries and stuff. It's not like you're going down to fucking IKEA to get a print for your dorm room.
Okay, based off the articles I read, what year was it? Sorry?
Last year, 2019.
Okay, sorry. Not that I know which year. I don't mm-hmm. not that I know.
Right. Oh, 2017.
I was thinking 2015.
Yeah.
Not that I know the difference, but I definitely in the billions.
$64 billion.
All right, I was going to say like four.
Mm-hmm. $64 billion total in arts and antiques sold in 2019.
That's so fucking absurd.
It's a big fucking number. And recently you've had different pieces sell for, there's this guy, I went down a rabbit hole, and this is not a pun, but there's this guy Jeff Koons, and he has like these, basically they're just statues of metal, like big shiny metal things, but they're shaped like balloon animals. They're just big balloon animals. So he has this one called the rabbit, sold for $91 million. It's literally a balloon animal, Ed. It's a fucking, like, I wish like we had like the Rogan setup where it would be like, hey Jamie, like pull that up.
Yeah.
It's a balloon animal that's big and shiny.
Really?
$91 million.
And it's just painted on a picture though?
It's a statue.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's like, did you come up with this like brilliant thing? No, it's a fucking balloon animal.
Yeah.
$91 million.
Yeah, and shit like this has been going on forever. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the banana taped to the wall.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with people who, like, what are you doing? Like, my third grader could make mm-hmm. that. But where it comes interesting is with the contemporary pieces, right?
Right. So, and that is, and we should say that too, like, rich people have been, you know, the wealthy elites have been financing art since like the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. So like all the great like Renaissance pieces that you've heard of, you know, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, all those people, like they were able to like do these great works of art because they're funded by like the Medici family in Italy. Like they're like, hey, go make this shit. So like that's nothing new. And like, again, like we're not anti-art. Like it's, you know, how could you be anti-art? Be like being anti-music. It's like the bullshit though. And now there has started to be like this little bit of a pushback against, like you said, specifically contemporary art. There's this guy who's a collector and dealer himself called David Namad. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but he was quoted in an article saying that, you know, contemporary art and modern art, like you see these sales with like, oh, it's a banana tape to this and whatever. He goes, this is like almost fraud. He goes, there are like really 2 to 3 buyers just pushing up the price. And he's like, I would never advise my clients to buy contemporary art. So okay, that's like from a leading art guy in the world. He's like, they said his collection is worth like over $2 billion, but he doesn't really dabble in you know, the modern art.
So what they think is they're getting someone from the present day, mm-hmm, and they're getting a couple people and be like, hey, let's keep bidding this up to right, make it super expensive.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. So, and then it's like, well, like, why would anybody do that? Like, why would anybody do that? And it's like, well, because people aren't doing it for like the art appreciation anymore. Like in the olden days when people were like financing the art, like Michelangelo and all these people, it's because they like wanted to fucking look at art. Like they wanted to like make their homes and like their cities more beautiful. Now it's not like that. Now it's like, and you have, it's two things. You have like great speed and great scale of like the difference. Like there's this one an Andy Warhol piece. Like Andy Warhol is like a very famous artist. I'm sure you've heard the name. He was around like the 50s and like post World War II time. He had a painting sell in 1999 for $2 million. And this is just to give you an idea of like how out of control the market has become like in recent times, the last 20 years. So 99 sells for $2 million. 8 years later, in 2007, that same painting, again, like nothing's changed, $24 million. So it's gone up, you know, 12x value in 8 years. Like, mm-hmm, what does that? It's a stationary fucking picture.
But let me ask you this. Isn't, mm-hmm, Warhol known as like a very famous, like well-known,
he's great very painter? Famous and well-known, which is probably why it sold for $2 million uh-huh, in 1999. But to have like that same thing, it's not like he died or anything like that. Like, it's just like people are, it's like an artificially inflated price. And it's like this community of art dealers and collectors and wealthy people all kind of agree to play this game along with museums to pump up the value of these prices. And we can kind of get into why.
Because he was dead. He died in 87.
Right.
Okay. So it's not like there was right, a death that in happens, 2000. Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Right. So it's like, oh, no more pieces for this guy. This guy's dead. Like, yeah, you know, now his stuff is more valuable. You hear about that all the time. You hear about things where artists, you know, in centuries prior would die like penniless, and then it's like then their art gets discovered and it's worth millions.
Yeah. And like, not to be grave, but mm-hmm, let's be honest here, like a Kobe Bryant signed memorabilia, sure, right now is a lot worth, mm-hmm, a lot more right now,
of course,
because it's, you know,
oh, and you know the market is fixed.
Yeah,
like there's not going to be any more Kobe, yes, Bryant autographs. Exactly. There's not going to be any more Warhol paintings. It's, mm-hmm, just, it's over
for sure.
And so, like, you know, now it becomes like a supply and demand, should, like anything else, a market economy should factor into that. Mm-hmm. But that's not how this works. Like, this is really like modern art collectors have become like a fiat industry, meaning like they just determine their own price. So we can kind of get into how that works.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Basically what happens is that you have like an art dealer who has a piece. Let's just say it's like some no name or like young person, not like a famous Van Gogh or something like that. It's like a modern art type piece. And they'll convince somebody we'll have two different examples. They'll convince somebody to buy it for $1 million. Like, hey, here's $1 million. Now, if that person wants to have that piece of art and put it in their house or whatever, then they get banged with a little bit of a sales tax too. So if it was $1 million painting, let's just call it like an $80,000 to $90,000 tax, but you walk away, you hang it on your wall, bang. Okay. What happens then is that dealer will then hype the fuck out of the artist who painted it. So like, hey, you buy it for $1 million. Here's how I'm going to go to work for you. There's going to be PR. And be like, this is the greatest. This will be, you know, be in the New York Times, the New Yorker, whatever. This hot young guy, like, he's painting all this shit. He's making these sculptures. this guy is like the next big thing. He's the next Banksy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And so that'll be, then it'll have like, then you'll have like PhDs in like art history or modern art. He'll like, hey, like I'll give you a little something. You write something about my boy here. I just sold this piece. Then he'll take other pieces that this artist has done. You know, so again, he sold the one piece for $1 million, but he's got like the same artist has like, let's say he's got four other ones. He'll negotiate the same art deal or take those other four pieces and put it in exhibitions in, you know, let's say he puts it in a museum in New York. He puts it in the Art Institute in Chicago. He puts it here. He puts it there. Okay. And then they'll have bids at auctions that, like we said before, they get artificially bumped up. And all of a sudden, when you factor all those things in, those are things that typically raise the value of a painting. But it's all fake because the whole reason they're in the museum, to be these other museums to begin with, is to boost the value of the painting that he sold. So it's just like, it's not like there's anything great about necessarily about this one piece that was initially sold. You sold it to this person for the express person, like they're investing in it, knowing that you'll drive the price up artificially so they can move it later.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're not moving it later just for a profit necessarily. Okay. It's the game that they're playing is that they'll then, let's say that they, you know, they make some windfall. They sell some shares. They have a big success in their other realm of their businesses. And it's like, okay, great, congratulations, but now you owe the government $10 million, okay? $10 million, like an income tax or capital gains tax, whatever it is. And they'll be like, okay, how about this instead? I'll donate my painting, this painting that I bought X amount of years ago to a museum. And they're like, well, how much is it worth? Well, it's like, I'll get it appraised. Well, they get to hire the appraiser. And a lot of times the appraiser will contact the dealer to get like a price. Like, what do you think this is worth? Well, it's been in all these exhibitions. Oh, like this guy has become, look at this article that was written, but look at this thing, this academic thing that was written about him. And it's like, oh, so now that thing is worth $10 million. That painting that you bought for one is worth 10. And it's like, oh, and how much did you owe in taxes? Well, $10 million. Well, now you give it to the museum at an appraised price of $10 million, and that's a tax write-off. So you're not paying you're not paying taxes on that other income, because you're like, oh, I'm giving this piece of art to the museum, and it's like it's free money. Mm-hmm. Because it's like you're supposed to be paying $10 million in taxes, but your fake painting you donate to the museum for an appraisal price of $10 million, and the museum gladly takes it. Because they can advertise to get people to come in, be like, oh, we have this painting that's worth $10 million. And then the person who donates it never really cared about the painting to begin with. They get to have they get to have their own dick sucked by having their name up and like, oh, this was donated by, mm-hmm. you know, Joe Blow for the price of $10 million. But it's like, it's all bullshit. Yeah. Like, it's not worth anything. It was just like this big scheme to evade taxes.
To swindle
people. Yeah. It's fucking crazy. And if you look at, like, I felt, you know, like I started looking at all these paintings, like one, like for like red squares on a piece of paper, a squiggly line, like shitty bear, like all these things get like their price just gets artificially inflated. Oftentimes when people buy these pieces of art, they put it in something called a free port, which is basically just like a state that's like tax free. So you don't even have to pay the sales tax on it. And it just goes and sits in a warehouse in the dark in like a climate controlled area until you're ready to like donate it to cover your taxes. And like that is like this racket that they're doing to get out of paying like real income taxes.
If there's a will, there's a way for the rich, man.
Yeah. It's like they just keep inflating this price up and up and up and up. Until like some Saudi oil prince comes along and buys it for like $400 million.
It's crazy, and that goes for everyone. If there's a will, there's a way for everyone.
Yeah,
not just them, but this is really
yeah.
This is a real loophole here.
Real loophole, and then it's like another thing that they'll do is with that same appraisal mm-hmm. process. So like again, they do the same thing where they put other ones in the museum, they drive up the price, and let's say that you want to have a new business venture, or you want to spread your money around, and you need cash from a bank, and it's like, okay, well, you know, you can put your house up as collateral. I don't want to do that. I don't want to risk my house, but I'll put this painting up. Now I bought this painting for $1 million. Now it's worth 10. Okay. So the bank will go to an appraiser and say, like, how much is this painting worth? Well, it's worth $10 million. Okay. Well, against that painting that's worth $10 million, the bank will give you 70% of what of the worth. So now you have $7 million. Now you're pretty liquid to do whatever you want with. Like, you'll have to pay it back, obviously, but you have capital available to you to do whatever, real estate, whatever you're thinking, on the grounds that you're gonna, that your collateral is this painting, that the painting's not really worth anything except for what somebody says. And the bank will just has no way to like be like, oh, like that's bullshit. So they'll just do the deal. Here's $7 million. Write you a check.
Yeah. So it's creative too. Like,
yeah.
There's people are finding ways like that.
Major loopholes. Yeah. And then it's, you know, they have these crazy auctions, right? They said that's how these like two to three people, these two to three buyers, like keep pushing up the price. It's because auctions aren't regulated. You know, so they'll have a reserve price. Like, this is the floor. This is the bidding price. It's not like a free market, but it's like you go to a room and be like, hey, do you like this painting? Like, what would you pay for it? It's like, no, minimum is $7 million. And then you have two or three people bidding it up, and then the person can take it or leave it. You know, the owner can be like, ah, like, I don't want to do it. But the auction is on the record as being like, oh, somebody bid $10 million for that.
Yeah.
Or you could just outbid them. Okay, like, ah, I'll bid $10 million. But basically, it's like the art dealer's bidding for like his own thing, his own painting, his own sculpture. So, but the documented record of its auction value is $10 million.
Yeah.
And but it's not, but like there's no money changing hands, but on the books, it's worth $10 million.
And their boys are getting in there too, I'm sure. It's like, hey, I got this, you know, I'm sure you have a piece in the storage unit. And when that comes out, yep. like we'll come help you out too.
And like they get to decide who even like, it's not like you can, Ed can just start painting, you know, paint squiggly lines on a canvas and be like, oh, I think this is worth $10 million. You could be like the best artist in the world, but if you're not connected into this realm, like you're on the outside, like you're not getting into this like high priced, like they want to control this environment. So it's like a closed loop. Like, you can't break in to sell your art in this realm unless, like, those people approve of you first.
Yeah, no, and that's what I do want to get into that for a second. But before we do, I'll tell you what doesn't cost millions of dollars.
What's that?
And is a great product. It's a place that is located on 901 West Randolph in Chicago, the West Loop.
Some would say that is a work of art as well.
You think so?
I think sandwiches can be art.
Some of the pictures they take of the sandwiches, so the Mr. G and the Buffalata is actually very very artsy, I would say.
I always like to say that I'm not like susceptible to advertising. Last weekend, I saw Mr. G on Instagram. Like, I called in. Like, I gotta have it. Gotta have it right now. So yeah, their Instagram is great, and the sandwiches are just unbelievable. It really is. There is, I would say that like cooking and like stuff like that, like that's art.
Yeah. All right. I agree. So it's Tuesday. They are open on Tuesdays now, people. Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 4, or whenever they run out of bread, go put in your order. There is never too early to put in an order. Order ahead. Order for Saturday right now. Say, hey, I want to pick up my sandwich at noon on Saturday. They'll be good to go. Go over to tastereelchicago.com. Get the jardinera. Get the muffalata. Go support JP Grazianos.
I put my order in for one. I'm moving. I'm going to christen my new place with the JP Grazianos. So after I'm done, the first thing I'm going to do is move the sandwich into the fridge, finish moving, and when I'm done, I'm going to sit out on the deck and eat that sandwich and just relax.
There you go. Also, they're doing a special thing with a place in Seattle. They're swapping sandwiches. So in Seattle, they're going to be selling a Mr. G Jiburrito, which sounds pretty awesome. And only tomorrow, Wednesday, May 27th, they're going to be doing a tripletta, it's called. So it's going to be fontanella cheese, turkey, roast beef, ham, chipotle mayo, Saxon, potato chips, jardinera, and mojo. It's a monster sandwich. Go get that, but you got to pre-order. It's only tomorrow, okay? So you got one shot at this. If you're listening to this podcast, you got a shot at the sandwich. So put in the order, get the tripletta, JP Grazianos, tomorrow, Wednesday, May 27th, the only time the sandwich is going to be there. So go get it. Imagine being a middle-of-the-road painter and being like a chosen one by these rich people and how much it would piss off like the real famous people who were established like the hard way.
Or let's just say you're a person now who's like really good and you're like a really good artist, you're doing it independently, or you're, you know, you're working hard, you got side deals, you're like a legitimate starving artist, but you have a lot of talent, you just can't break into this circle. And then you got this guy, Jeff fucking Koons, who he himself, this is the balloon animal, the metal balloon animal guy. He's worth $200 million himself for fucking balloon animals. He's a clown. He's a literal clown, but he's worth $200 million. And you're like dying. You're doing it for the love of the game. You just love painting. You love sculpting, but you just can't break it through. You're really good, but you're not in that Jeff Koons circle where you got a bunch of assholes bidding up. You're paying $91 million for a big ass balloon animal of a rabbit or a dog. Like, that would drive me insane. It's almost like, I feel like we've referenced Entourage in this office like too much lately, but you know that episode where they like, or Turtle like knocks over like this stack of cubes that,
I believe so.
Yeah. So it's just like, yeah, it's a stack of cubes. And it's like, well, that stack of cubes is worth $550,000. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's like, that goes on a lot. Like, it's just like, if you're not in this inner circle, you're fucked, and you're gonna work your whole life not being able to crack it. And Jeff fucking Koons with his metal balloon animals is like a insanely rich person for God knows why.
Yeah. And I've even in the articles that I read too, it's just people are like, it's kind of threatening the industry where people are getting really upset about this, telling you people don't buy contemporary pieces.
Yeah.
Stop doing it, like make sure you know who you're buying from. Mm-hmm. So they're obviously onto it, and a lot of people are not happy.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. I referenced that guy earlier in the podcast, David Namad, who's saying that, and you know, he's a guy who has like these older pieces, you know, like the Van Goghs, the you know, name an artist, like the one of those like impressionist style artists or the classical style, and he's saying like, this is like, there are people calling it out that this is fraud. But then it's like, okay, well, maybe something is shifting. Then you look at the numbers from 2019 to 2018, and sales of contemporary art and like these art prices in general were down a little bit. They're only down 3-4% internationally. And the highest price things are as high as ever. And like I said, it's a $64 billion, you know, very niche industry. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, yeah, there's been a little bit of a pushback, but I, like the people who are involved, they're the ones sticking in like the free ports where they're like, I don't care about that piece of art. I'm just looking to have something I can donate to a museum so I don't have to pay the government.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so it's like it's a bunch of bullshit. And, you know, and like, it's sad in a way because, you know, like that guy, David Namad, like, I don't want to say like, I know much about that guy. He strikes me as a guy who's in it for like, he really loves art. Now, he's worth $2 billion. I don't know how he got that money to begin with, but he's pushing back against like, oh, here's a turd in a toilet bowl and it's art. Like literally, like that's, you can find those in museums. And he's pushing back against that. But it's like, it's just too big of an industry for people to just go away.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Next time you see fucking Jeff Bezos buy a big ass painting that's mm-hmm. worth hundreds of millions of dollars, or next time you see something dumb that's being sold for a shit ton of money,
right?
Maybe you got a little inkling of what's actually going down.
He's just, and then wait another 5 years or so for him to give it away to a museum, and then get the good PR on the other side. Oh, look at Jeff Bezos. He made this great, you know, donation.
Yep.
It's like, fuck you. Like, he's just trying not to get banged on taxes.
There you go. Chief, mm-hmm. thank you. Very interesting. I mean, I didn't have my nose to the ground in that
it's
one.
It's a racket, Ed.
Yeah.
This is a racket. And then don't let them make you feel like you're dumb when you're like, I don't understand this. And they're like, you don't understand. You're right. It's a blue dot on a piece of paper. Fuck you. That's the part that really bothers me the most, is then you have like these hipster assholes who will be like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not. Fuck you. It's not. It's stupid.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So. I hear you. All right, Chief. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. That's it for today. We will see you all tomorrow.